K-E-A-L-A-X from K-E-A-W-U-O. N-H-W-R-O from K-E-A-W-U-O.
Good morning, John.
Top of the morning to you, sir. I'm trying to get a little bit of answers, but I don't know if you know the full context, because I know Sean has people using an SSH to get in, so they're remoting into these nodes and these WISE boxes across the system, and I'm curious, how did you...
No, much more simple than that. It's just the DTMF commands on the microphone using the keypad. And, of course, I won't show you the code here, but, they disconnect code and the reconnect code. Just push to talk and do the code, and it happens. So it's over the air connecting, to the, in my case, the 7.2.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, that makes some sense, because that's basically how I'm doing it, too, is... that's how I'm, manipulating my node right now. But I know Sean was mentioning a method in which they use scripts, and so I want to get to the bottom of that, because I'm imagining there's a script somewhere. But maybe when people use the term script, they're talking about, those tones and just pounding them into the keypad. So I'll have to get a hold of Sean and see what he's saying. But I'm almost 100% sure there was a mention of a SSH app that was being used to disconnect all these All-Star nodes and reconnect them and whatnot. And I don't know if these guys know of that, I guess.
On here, I can shed some light, and it's probably mostly wrong terminology.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, I'd love for you to share some light or shed some light.
Well, all I can say is when I say scripts, really what I'm talking about is, we can set up macros and we can set up things on certain commands and. Or you can write a little shell script to execute something, and then call to it with like cron or something like that. There's no real that it's just that kind of typical Linux stuff. There is an SSH program. It's called SSH Button, and Dino knows about that. I don't think he's here. K-F-A-C-A-R, he showed me it. What he does is he takes that program and he programs the button to literally SSH into his node and perform a command and then drop out. So I don't know much about that, but I know he's been doing that with some stuff. I don't even know how, it might be insecure. It might not be something that you could share. But when I say script, I'm using that term very loosely.
Gotcha. And, yeah, I mean, it's kind of got a large interpretation of what it is and does. But, so that sounds, even the shell commands, it's like that's what I want to do it via shell command, a PowerShell script, and then even a macro. Macros is another one of those, wide-ranging definitions of something, a macro could be just DTMF tones being sent over the air or something, but what I want to be able to do is connect to the node over the internet, send it a shell command or execute a shell command type thing, because to me that'll be the easiest way to do it, and I think we can make it pretty secure, so it's it's handled, but I don't know. I'll send it over to you for more input.
Yeah, most anything that you need to do, you can do from the command line. You can just say, after it be, APT, RPT, and then tell it, what node, what you want to do, what you want to execute. And you can generally send all those commands without, being in, I'm not an expert at it. This is where, I was hoping, have somebody with some programming chops kind of like take it from there. Most of that is digging around in the forums and just, if you think of something like, how can I execute you just kind of like put the question out there. If you start to poke around, you'll see guys have written scripts to do certain things. That's my level. I kind of like think of something I want to do. It's usually nothing creative. I usually get out there in the forums and I do a Google foo search and I say, how do I connect to a node from the command line, and I go and I see it. And then it just starts to, you start to see the pattern, right? But I'm no expert. I know I've fumbled my way through a few things. Phil, K8PR, he's got a better understanding, and probably could help a little bit with some of that stuff. He's done some creative things. But I apologize. I'm not really the right guy. That's why I was hoping to find somebody that could get in there and take over. I do the hardware and as much of the programming and that stuff as I can. I'm just good enough to be dangerous. And but if you really want to take it to the next level, there are guys that have that level of interest, and I ain't that guy.
Gotcha. Well, no worries. I do believe I can do it. It's my main question is like, where are these nodes, wise boxes, etc., connected to? Are they accessible via the broader internet, or are they only on MI6? And that's kind of the gist of my question is, if they are out there on the internet, where would I reach them? But I think what I'll do is I'll finish mine, I'll be added into it and run show plans. Because I think that's the easiest way. If we can get into that command prompt on a node, then we have we have full. I'll work towards, and then as we get a little further along, we'll start to look at how these things are connected and see if I can make it work with the proof of concept that I make, or if we have to adapt it. But all right, well, I appreciate the info. I'll let you get back to your day. Thank you, sir.
Well, just one final comment. Yes, they're absolutely reachable. They are on 44.net, and as long as, everything's copacetic, you can get to them. So that's not a problem. We may have to get you a zero tier to do that. But, right now, just a big thing is learning how to get one up and running and how to do all that stuff. And then we can get you over to, we can get you access into the 7.2 for sure. And there's some other stuff, too. But, we're going to have to sit down on that, if we start that down that path. So you're way out ahead of the curve. But, yeah, they're all reachable. You can log straight into them, SSH straight in, and do whatever you need to do, and you can get access to the all-mon free pages, and if you want to like create some sort of a button script or something like that, I imagine you could probably work it into the page. I don't know, all right. Anyhow, we'll talk more about that. But they are, yes, they're all absolutely reachable via the internet. Although you might need a VPN that we can provide, not a big deal. WAFU.
That's exactly what I needed to hear. I will work on a proof of concept. I'll put it all in an Excel ribbon and have buttons to do it all, and it'll be super simple, and anyone could do it. So that's the plan. But, all right, I'll leave it all.
John, they copied all that direct, so that sounds quite interesting. NAWRO, I'll be clear, but listening as well.
Alrighty, well, thank you, sir. I appreciate your information and input, too. Very good to know. And I will be clear and monitoring as well.
So you must have both Rocky and Flynn then. Excellent. Good day for a walk.
They like running around like maniacs together. You know, they're best friends. So they, and I always, you know, break the other one's heart if I just take Rocky. And then Flynn's like, oh, man, I want to go. And Rocky comes home smelling like the woods. And he gets a little sad, so I feel bad for him. So he has to come. Otherwise, he is, like, suicidal. All right. Well, I'll let you go. This is KEAWVO. I'll be clear and monitoring.
NAWRO.
KEAZRI testing radio. Anybody hear me?
KEAZRI, this is KEALAX. I hear you loud and clear.
Hey, Dean, how are you? This is I finally got the microphone installed on my itty-bitty little radio.
Sounds good on this, and how are you liking it so far?
Miss that, could you repeat that again?
I said you sound good on this end. How are you liking that little radio?
Well, you're the first one I've talked to. This is the first time I've keyed the mic on this radio. And I'm still working on the phone plug.
Well, you're getting in good. And, you're the first one I've talked to today, so I'm not sure about my volume. But as of right now, you seem like they're good audio levels. Tim, are you monitoring? Nothing heard. Back over to you, Ryan.
Yeah, I'm on the itty bitty little radio. I think I'm on low power. I'm on a little magnetic mount antenna that's just stuck to a couple of pieces of metal plate here for a ground plane in my office. I'm on the second floor of a building and I'm talking into the Mount Clemens repeater.
KE8WUO, here for a level check. Morning, guys.
Hey, guys. John, I think it is, right?
Yep, I just figured I'd throw out my call sign and say hi and let Dean gauge your audio levels against mine since I didn't reach out just yet. But I noticed that you might be varying the distance from the microphone to your radio or something, because there's been times where you come over real, real hot, and then you calm down a little bit, and it gets a little quieter. So it's a little bit hard to gauge, but yeah, I'll send it over to you, Dean.
Yeah, thanks, John. Thanks, John, for hopping in there. I didn't have to adjust my volume at all. I do agree with you. There's probably a distance thing there. Each time you tease up, it might be a little closer than backing away. But, no, levels seem good. I didn't have to adjust my volume at all. I appreciate it, Don. Over to you, Brian.
Yeah, W8UO, you came booming in earlier when you were talking to Sean, I think it was. And, man, you come in so clear. It sounded like you were sitting right next to me.
That's surprising because I was out here in the boondocks. Right now I'm between 29 and 28 mile by the Ray Center. So, yeah, I'm out in a big farmer's field right now with the dogs. And I was basically right about there when I was talking to Sean. But I do not have a real good discipline for how I talk in the radio yet. So I probably come in loud sometimes and other times not so much.
No, every time I hear you, you sound real clear. You sound...
John loves his Motorola, so if you want audio quality, that's a good portion of it. Over to you, Ren.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty impressed with this sub $200 itty bitty radio that fits in the palm of your hands. It seems to be doing a great job.
Yeah, you sound great from over here. So, what kind of radio did you get? I missed it.
I call it the itty bitty radio, but it's a Radiodity Delta Bravo 25 Delta, the DB25D. It's a little tiny 20 watt radio that sits in the palm of your hand.
Wow, 20 watts in the palm of your hand. That's pretty impressive. I didn't know they made handhelds with that much wattage.
In my mobile, and tiny. It was a radio to throw in there to go bag over.
Yeah, very cool. That's definitely worthy of a go bag for just having any kind of HT that has the capability to put out 20 watts would be nice. I bet that battery, you know, I mean, maybe it does, but I'd assume that battery would be eaten up pretty quick if you're long-winded just because of all that wattage. But I'll send it over to you, Dean.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there. I think we doubled up. It's actually, John, it's actually a base. It's a micro mini mobile unit, if you will. So no battery. It's just small enough that the whole unit fits in your hand, but it is technically a mobile.
Gotcha. We gotta establish the rotation. I never know when to chime in, and we're gonna keep doubling on each other. But I guess it'll go Dean, me, Brian. Over to you, Brian.
Yeah, it's a mobile radio, and now I gotta figure out what kind of battery to hook it up to. Probably a lithium phosphate iron battery, some type of small one, and I bought a little backpack for it. And I think I'm going to turn it into a mobile / portable unit. Over.
Yeah, I mean you could do that. I don't think for 20 watts, a unit like that, I don't think you'll need a crazy battery. I'm not super familiar with putting live people 4 batteries on radios, but large. What have you done?
Yeah, I got a SLA sized, I think it's a 10 amp hour LiPo from Dakota Lithium. I actually got 2 of them. They got them there's a dual pack, and I got 2 for my HF rig because I have a 891 in an armor lock housing with that battery in there. And I love that thing. It seems to last forever. Can charge my phone with it too. It's a nice setup. So you got lots of options. You don't have to go with that big, especially for a go bag, but man, that's pretty cool. 20 watts in a little go bag kit is that's the perfect go bag. So that's cool. That's DMR. Does it do analog too? And is it VHF and UHF or just UHF?
It does UHF, VHF, and DMR. And it has 2 power settings. It's got a low, which is around 10 watt, and a high, which is around 20 watt. But when I saw, on the YouTube testing this radio, he got 25 watts out of it for UHF, so I assume that 25 watts is for DMR also.
For some $200, that don't sound bad. Over to you, John.
No, that's a really really cool setup there. You really can't complain with a setup like that. That makes a really, really good go bag, go kit. It does DMR, and it, because right now I pretty much exclusively operate off of HTs, and I want to get some mobile units so I get some more power. However, I do love the Motorola system, but man, it's like setups like that make me really just think, like, I should just get one of those just to have it. Just for like a backup, in the car, I mean, that thing's perfect, especially for ARPSC. You know, those are our sweet spot frequency. You know, we're in VHF, UHF on analog, and then we're obviously doing DMR on UHF. So I don't know why you wouldn't do that.
Yeah, it does ATRS too, and it's got a little GPS antenna, a little 2-inch GPS antenna on the back of it. Go ahead, Dean.
My curiosity question would be, and since yesterday I've run into this quite a few times with a few questions, but some of these DMR radios will not do what they're considering as analog ATRS. I was helping somebody yesterday. Well, I shouldn't say helping. I was just talking to about it, and I did a little bit of research. And, like, the DM32 advertises that it will do ATRS, but when you do research, it's only over digital modes. So it does ATRS over DMR. It's strange.
That is strange. And I'm not going to say I don't like that idea, though, because DMR is, you know, it's got all the error correction and all that built into it. So it might be a little bit more reliable, but I don't know. And I had to play with it a little bit, but that's kind of cool, actually. I assume it still gets piped over, maybe not. I guess if our... No, it wouldn't, because our AAPRS gateways in Macomb County, I saw, are analog. I do not believe they do both, especially simultaneously. So I guess it would kind of be a deal breaker unless you were talking to another DMR APRS, which would be pretty sweet, because, you know, if it's as dependable as this system is, that would be cool.
Yeah, I'm not, this does ATRS, but I'm not sure what modes it is. I'm not familiar with ATRS. That's the next thing I got to look at, I guess. I'm not sure if it does it analog, digital, or what it does, but it is an ATRS radio.
Fair enough. Yeah, that just kind of confused me because I think of the packet as more of like a digital mode, so that kind of confused me a little bit. I had to do some research. But I think people started asking me. I got a ton of messages yesterday because when I was taking Tom home, I turned mine on in the mobile, and it tracked me all the way I turned it on up through Richmond and back down. So I think a lot of people went on that APRS.fi, seen my call sign, and then just started messaging me. It was kind of funny. Over to you, John.
Gotcha. Yeah, I've seen that on APRS-5 before from other people, not from you. But I guess that would make sense. And I guess that would be, you know, I was thinking about, you know, he said that the radio does GPS also. And I was thinking, well, why would it need that? Because typically you're going to interface with a phone or a laptop or some other device that would provide the GPS link. But it's the radio doing, you know, transmitting of the APRS signal, and you're not interfacing with anything else, then that would be why. And so that's why your radio must have GPS built into it to do that also. And I've seen it on APRS-5, and I always wondered, well, how are these guys doing that? And do they know? You know, do they know that I can see exactly where they are all the time? But I don't know. Pretty cool. This is KEAWUO. Over to Brian.
KEAZRI for ID. Yeah, go ahead, Dean. Take this one.
KEAX for ID. Yeah, so all of these radios that have APRS capabilities have a line of GPS. You kind of have to. I don't fully understand APRS. There's a lot about, like, the messages and stuff that you send that I don't understand yet. I kind of just did like a YouTube crash course to kind of try to understand it, to set it up in the mobile. But in this area, there was no coverage for it. There's only a weather station in Baltimore that I would pick up. But other than that, as of yesterday, of course, having APRS back up, I was testing it, and it did a pretty decent job. This BTEC that I got, I believe, does APRS analog as well, but I haven't played with it.
For some reason, I thought the radio you were talking about that was transmitting your APRS was the BTEC DMR radio, but it sounds like that's not the case. So now I'm curious what radio you were using that was doing your APRS while you were driving around. I'm thinking it might have been a DM32 on analog, but I don't know. You don't have a DM32. That was Tim. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm lost. Over to you, Brian.
The DM32, is that a Baofeng radio?
That's affirmative, Brian. It is a Baofeng radio. It's actually a really cheap DMR, and for what it is, it's actually a nice radio. It's kind of like a Motorola APX replica, if you will. Obviously not nearly as nice, but good audio. That's what I was talking on for like the last probably, 2-3 weeks? Maybe not that long, but John convinced me to run with this BTEC. So I'm the radio, John, is the Yaesu FTM300D that I have in the car. That does APRS with GPS. Over to you, Tom.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, I have the BTEC UV Pro, and I know that can do APRS, but I haven't messed with it yet. So I assume that would do the same thing, and I kind of assume your DMR 6-2, whatever the heck it's called, would do it too. But that might do it over DMR. Like you said, you'll have to play with it. But that's interesting. I'll have to check out your Yaesu one of these days. But cool. Well, interesting conversation. I was wondering if either one of you had any luck with WinLink yet. I didn't see a whole lot of promising messages afterwards, but it sounds like the APRS is working flawlessly. Over to you, Brian.
Yeah, I got to learn about that APRS, and I got to learn about all these different digital modes because I'm a new ham, and all this stuff is just fascinating to me. It's just almost overwhelming, all these different modes and everything. I plan on looking into the APRS next. And so with what Sean did yesterday, was that installing, I understand it was installing a WinLink gateway. Did that also have something to do with GPS and AMRS? Did that have something to do with that? Over.
John, I had a conversation. I didn't really catch that. Go ahead and answer it.
Okay, so yesterday at the county building in Mount Clemens, Dean and I installed the APRS antenna on top of the city building, and that's a separate system from WinLink. And so you have like an APRS receiver that we put an antenna on. There was already a gateway there. It just needed a new antenna. And then also at the county building, there was already an antenna for WinLink, but we needed to replace the actual gateway. So both of those things got done yesterday, and they're both separate. WinLink is like another... I don't like calling it digital because I don't think it really is, but it kind of is. It's like a maybe digital tone sent over analog, so I kind of consider it analog. But and I could be misquoting it, but anyway, it's So we installed the WinLink, and that is like another mode that you can send data and emails, you know, namely through that system. So you have the APRS, which is like a packet thing that lets you send messages, lets you post your current location, and then there's also the WinLink thing, and that lets you send basically emails and receive emails without an internet connection, just using RF. So they're kind of similar, but one basically revolves around emails, and the other one is just kind of free-form messaging and location reporting. And a lot of people use APRS to track like weather balloons, and you know, it's just a messaging service that relies on, you know, the amateur radio frequencies, and I don't know, kind of a cool thing. I don't know enough about it really to really be any voice of authority or, you know, but it's definitely the blind leading the blind, but I was able to help, so that's all I know. Over to you, Brian, KEAWUO.
Yeah, I remember at the meeting, I think it was Dave, and he was teaching us about the WinLink, and then I went home and started playing with that, and all I've done is telnet sessions right now with that to family members. I got to look into the RF portion of it next. That sounds really interesting. Oh, go ahead, Dean.
So, John, to answer your question, I decided I don't think I'm going to cut that cable up. I think I'm going to make a dongle with a audio jack extension and chop that up. That way, if there's ever a situation where somebody says, oh, I only have the green cable, I have an adapter that will make a green cable work. So, no, I haven't gotten to play with the WinLink and all. I think I also am not a voice of authority on it, but I think you pretty well got it there, John. I am definitely excited. I'm kind of hoping I can hit it HT from the house. If I can't, I have an antenna on top of the house, but I am kind of excited to play around with it. I don't know if it's necessarily good use for, you know, modern hams. I could see it being good use in emergency, but however, I'll still learn it and I'll get good at it. Over to you, John.
KEAWUO. Yeah, Dean, I like your ambition to make a custom adapter for your green cable, but you must have a lot more free time than I do, because for like $30, you could just buy it and be done with it, and the amount of time you're going to spend trying and the, you know, bits and bobs that you're going to have to acquire to adapt all that, you probably would just be better off buying the cable and then having both. But hey, you know, whatever reflects your RF. Over to you, Brian.
Yeah, Dean, what did you mean by that green cable thing? What, I don't know. I'm lost. What is that?
Yeah, Brian. So the DigiRig Mobile, there's two cables when you're using the K1 connector. So your two-pin Baofeng connectors. There's a black cable which enables audio in, audio out, and push-to-talk. And the green cable is for serial data. And they are pinned and wired differently. Well, they're pinned the same. They're wired differently. That's what John had. He loaned me a DigiRig because that's a platform that, or a converter, if you will, that you need to put between your radio and your computer cell phone in order to send WinLink messages over RF. So I was going to make an adapter to make the green cable work as if it were a black cable.
Yeah, it's a good idea in practice. just because, like, you know, then you just have one cable and an adapter, and you can handle both situations. But personally, I would probably just buy the black cable and have both. And I don't know. I don't trust my soldering and heat shrinking, and just get the cable done and, you know, not have to worry about it. But I don't know. I have to learn how to use them, and, you know, so that's what I've been using. But there's lots of different ways to, you know, use basically like a digi-rig and a sound modem, sound card is a way to take your radios, audio in and audio out, and push the talk buttons and route it to a interface that your computer can and interpret and be able to use. You know. And they just kind of have a little short conversation, and then they start sending over packets. And that's kind of what those add-on devices do. Some of the radios have all that built in. Like, I think you were saying yours has, like, APRS in it, so maybe you won't need a gateway, you know, like a digi-rig, but you'll have to, you know, kind of research your setup and figure out what it will take to get you on the air sending those kind of packets. Over to you, Brian.
John, I like the way you describe things. You do a real excellent job of describing everything. Okay, my format's done here. I got to jump out here and get back to what I was doing on the computer. I'm thinking about changing this thing over to Linux because I've had it with Windows. And, okay, guys, so I'm going to make this my 73 round. I'm going to say 73 to you guys. Thank you very much for coming back to me and testing this radio out. I'm going to be listening here, but I'm going back to work on the computer. KE8ZRI, I'll be over after your final.
Sounds good. 73s, Brian. That radio sounds good. I'm happy you got it working. John, it's not that I can't get a cable, and I probably still will get cables, but I am good at soldering and stuff like that, so it's just kind of a fun thing without me having to do extra steps, because I do actually have that adapter cable readily on hand, the audio jack extension. So it's just one of those things, cut it up, solder it up with the proper pinout. But back over to you.
Copy that. Yeah, no, I knew you could get it. I just admired your, you know, gumption to actually make something, you know, something else and alter it. And, you know, that's kind of what ham radio is all about. So, like, you know, more power to you, honestly. I just, I don't know. I'm kind of a, I don't know. I don't want to say that, but I don't know. That's good. I'm impressed that you're willing to tackle a task like that. And it's not like it's hard or anything. It's just you know, not everybody would adapt a cable to work like that. So good on you. And Brian, it's been nice talking to you. And good luck with your new radio. And good luck with the Linux. Hopefully that works out well and you like it. And yeah, Windows can be fun. Linux can also be fun. So I do wish you the best of luck. I guess I'll be clear and monitoring. I don't know who to pass it to. Brian, I think you're done. And Dean, I guess I'll pass it to you.
All right. Well, 73s. I know you're out with the. I know you're out with the dog. And like I said, I'll definitely buy cables because. It seems like here I'm going to be in need of purchasing my own digi-rig here soon. So I'll end up with my own cables. But for the time being, it's only probably a 15, 20-minute task because I've got a whole soldering station and stuff, you know, kind of already set up. So it's just kind of a fun thing to do on a Sunday, I think. I'll go from there. But I will be monitoring Statewide 1 all day and possibly 7.2. I know I was I was told that that's linked up for the weekend, so I might listen to that state net that everyone keeps talking about. But either way, 7:30, this is Kilo Echo 8, Lima Alpha X-ray, and I will be monitoring.
K-E-A-W-U-O. Well, just to clarify, the Mount Clemens is actually, it's connected like it kind of always was. We just recently disconnected it from what I gather. So it's not really in any different state than it normally is. Then as configuration the network had, so I wouldn't be afraid to talk on it, you know, because you.
Hey, I completely understand. No, it's not in a, it's not really different than what it usually is. I only heard it that one time, so I'm interested in potentially listening to it. Maybe I'll check in. Who knows? But I will be sitting here monitoring. Have fun with the pups. This is Kilo Echo 8, Lima Alpha X-ray. Clear monitoring.
KEAWUO, clear monitoring.
KFA EDQ monitoring statewide 1.
88 AN, KADNTN, statewide 1. KE8IN from KADNT, statewide 1. KADNT, clear.
KEALAX from KEAWUO.